There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about The Boy and the Beast, which was a random choice actually this week.
Not a bad random choice either.
Indeed. Well, The Boy and if you want to catch part of what we were talking about, which was the future plans for some of the changes and upcoming things that we want to do with our Patreon exclusive episodes and some of the things that we want to tackle, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to all that bonus content and more. Now on to the meat and potatoes. The Boy and the Beast originally came out in July 2015. It is a movie, and producers for it are Dentsu, Kodokawa, Toho, just to name a couple. Studio for it is Studio Chizu. It is an original, and the genres for it are adventure, supernatural, isekai, and action, with just a smidge of action is actually what I would say. They also say that you can also classify it as anthropomorphic, because I really can't speak today for whatever reason. And the duration is 1 hour and 59 minutes.
Really surprised they didn't throw wushu in there. Like wushu? Martial arts?
Oh, well, I mean, like, we've watched other ones where there was martial arts involved, but that wasn't thrown in there. But I don't see why we can't.
Yeah, no, because, like, you have a very long, and when I say long, I mean years long montage, let's call it, where our main character is literally just training, unconsciously, subconsciously just training.
Right.
Maybe because there's no technical structure to it. Maybe that's why there's not, they don't put that category well, that, there. But
well, that and wushu is Chinese, so that's also probably why.
Fair. Didn't occur to me, but fair. Yeah, no, that makes sense. The only wushu stuff I've seen is with Jackie Chan and Jet Li, and I'm like, Which, Chinese actors. Okay.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
That would make sense.
I mean, like, you have jujitsu, you have kendo, but, you know, I mean, it's all right. It's all good.
Yeah. No, it's fair. So the premise of this movie is that people and the spirit world kind of, while you're able to cross over to the area in between, or via the area in between, you're allowed to go from one world to the other, it's generally not practiced well. And while humans' technology and things like that have advanced beyond any rational thought, ironically enough, kind of similar to here, where when you think about it, my computer shouldn't work the way that it does. I mean, obviously it should, given science and whatnot, but like, who's going to think to put a spark to something, and then all of a sudden I'm able to send my voice through the TV, through the internet, through the computer. I'm able to see images. It's like magic. Anyway, I digress. But going back in there, into the movie, in the other world, there's legitimate magic.
Yes.
There's legitimate everything. And it's kind of cool, but apparently these other beings, these other spirits, are able to ascend to godhood and be reborn, whereas humans lack that function.
Yeah.
And it's seen as a faux pas, kind of, sort of, well, to try to train people because they have an innate darkness.
Yeah, and it's not because they lack the ability, it's because of that darkness. They are... What did they say? They're easily susceptible to that darkness, being overcome and taken over by that darkness, which then allows them to, once they're, while they're in that world, while they're in the world that is parallel to the human world, I think is how they described it. It's like in parallel, it's, the worlds are lightly connected, and that's about it. And you can get there through a back alley, and but you have to know the way to get there through that random ass back alley.
Yeah.
That once you actually develop that power, once you're able to develop that power inside there and that darkness overtakes you, it carries over into the human world as well. So it's not like you are only able to use it there. Once it's harnessed there, it's carried over into the human world.
Part of your body.
Yeah, it's part of your body. But that's my interpretation. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
No, my interpretation of it was, it's like a second hand or a third hand, if you will. Like you might not realize it's there, but once you start using it, it's very easy to use everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like there's no off switch, so to speak.
Yeah.
But
and the power that is being specifically referenced is a power unique only to humans.
Yes.
The other beast folk, the animal people, however you want to call them, they aren't privy to that power. However, they are given what is the word? They're given an alternative form. Like they're able to change their form into a more beast and stronger type form.
I would say like a boon of some kind.
Yeah.
Like a boost.
Yeah.
A transform ability, if you will, where they revert back to their more aggressive and beastly forms. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't really understand. How is a lion going to have tusks and then turn into a bull?
I don't think he was a lion. I think what he was a boar.
With a fantastic mane.
Well, I mean, like, they do have hair.
Mm, true. But so the premise of the story is based on these two potential masters, two potential successors to the... Yeah, grandmasters, successors to the throne. One is highly dignified with... massive amounts of disciples and two sons and elegance in incarnate, essentially, and just dedication, everything good in life, everything worth being, vigilant, dedicated, generous, caring, nurturing. He embodies it all. And I mean, other than being the obvious choice, I have no idea why he wasn't chosen to be a successor off the bat, because he has he's got the adoration of everyone up to and including his enemies. Speaking of his enemies, there's one in particular, also a grandmaster, ironically enough, also in the running to be the next lord,
nope.
The one who makes the rules.
They are both not grandmasters. They're both in the running to be the grandmaster.
Oh, for the okay. Era.
Yeah. So. But yeah, they're total polar opposites, right? You have Kumetsu, who's the bear, who's the exact opposite. He doesn't have a family. He doesn't have disciples. He doesn't have the respect of everyone. He's very hot-headed. He's very very reactionary and everything. But he grew up with nothing. He didn't have family or anything like that. So all his strength, all his talents and everything like that
comes from within.
Comes from within and him being self-taught. Whereas if you have Iozan, who has a family, has disciples, has all that stuff. However, when the Grand Master is talking to both of them, you know that there are particular aspects that they are both lacking. One being for Kumetsu, he doesn't have a disciple. He doesn't have a family. He is very renegade-like. He just kind of flies by the seat of his pants, you know. And goes out there and does whatever.
No plan, no thought, no responsibility for anybody else. Essentially, he goes out there and he's in it for himself. He's willing to fight for himself. He's willing to die for himself. One of the cool things here, have you ever read, I realize this is off track a little bit. It'll make sense, I promise. Have you ever read a book, a series called The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan?
Do I ever?
You might have.
Dude,
well, we went to different high schools, but...
No, we went to the same high school.
I got expelled.
You and I still went to the same high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I thought you graduated without being expelled.
No, I didn't get expelled. I transferred willingly. My my last year. So
yeah, I got expelled, went to a continuation school. Anyway, in continuation school, they had a book series to read called The Wheel of Time series by Robert Jordan. Cult classic, amazing. In this book, men and women have the one power, all that good stuff. There's a city in this book where the one power is not allowed to be used. You can't use it. However, you're able to use swords and whatnot. But the boss of that city said you can't draw your sword. So all the swords had a sheath on it that was tied intricately. And it was very easily seen if it was ever cut or broken, unless, you know, you're the main character and you're able to hide the fact you broke the sword. Seal. In this, the reason I bring that up is in this other world, everyone has a sword, but it's sheathed and it's not supposed to be unsheathed.
And it is tied intricately to see if it's been unsheathed or not.
Exactly. And it was really cool. And personally, that's what it brought up, high school memories and whatnot, good memories of that book. And I was like, I wonder if they're taking inspiration from that, or if perhaps this series came out first. But I never understood why they needed all those weapons if you could never actually use them other than to be like a billy club. In that case, a staff would be much more efficient.
It's to help show the restraint. You have the ability to use it. You have the will, the power to use it. That doesn't mean you should use it. And what that seal does is it helps keep you in check, making sure that you're not actually going to use it.
Interesting. I mean, everyone aside from the bear seemed to be rather virtuous, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the bear and the monkey.
Everyone's different.
But monkeys are always mischievous.
True. But you don't see everyone. And to say everyone's virtuous is not 100% because of how everyone was acting and how everyone chose to exclude or ridicule him in general. But you also have Izuan's son, not Ichiro, but the other one, Jiromaru.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was bullying our main character, Ren, simply because he was different, simply because he was human. And so that plays a part into it, that he's bullying him and making fun of him and pushing him around because the fact that he is a human. So the fact that everyone's not being virtuous is not virtuous, at least not right off the bat, is very different. He respects or likes those who are strong and have power. And when Ren was able to defend himself and able to retaliate, that's when he respected him. He goes, oh, you know what? I actually like you. I like people who are strong.
Weird how that works, right?
Right. But also what's interesting is because Kumatetsu, the bear, didn't really train or teach Ren, who unwittingly, or not unwillingly, but who ended up becoming his disciple because he had nowhere to stay and he wanted to learn, he wanted to grow, he wanted to be stronger, started mimicking Kuma's moves, and that's what he did to train. And so when he was able to mimic Kuma's moves, that's when
by the sound
he was able to understand and really connect with how he was moved. So at that point, Kuma and Ren started training with each other and understanding, and they helped each other grow. And the Grand Master told Yuzen that because they saw them training, and he says to him, he's like, he's not Ren's not the only one that's growing and getting refined. Kuma as well. He is growing and he is becoming more refined and he's becoming a better master. And with the progress over years with Ren, him growing, him developing and everything like that, everyone all of a sudden wanted to be his disciple. Because they saw that there was this small, weak human child becoming strong, and he was the top disciple for Kuma. And so it gave Kuma a different outlook, a different view on life, but at the same time, their relationship was very symbiotic and very
symbiotic
symbolic and codependent. They needed each other, but it's also to show that regardless of the differences, that they can't, you can still grow regardless. It doesn't matter the backgrounds, the stories, who or what you are. It doesn't matter. At the end, if there's a willingness to grow and learn, you will grow and learn.
100%. And the way that they say it in here and the way they show it, which I was really a fan of, was the fact that Kuma kind of adopted, for lack of a better phrasing, Ren, and even gave him a new name, because Ren was like, I'm not giving you my name. And he's like, screw it, I'll give you a brand new one, and you're going to go by that from now on.
Yep.
And while unintentional, it is it's my opinion, and this is a flawless representation of this method. It's the puppy method. You know, if there used to be a sales thing a long time ago, well, if you like it, see how it looks in your house. Bring it back over the weekend. If you don't like it, no problem. Same with a puppy. Take him home for the weekend. See if you like him. If he's a good fit. If not, bring him back, and we'll no harm, no foul. 9 times out of 10, you get used to having it in your house, the TV or a puppy, and you're like, you know what? I've grown attached. I've named him even, which is why if you find a stray, worst thing you can do if you're going to give him away or try to find a home for him is to name him, because then you form an emotional bond, an emotional attachment, and it's going to screw you up real bad, because you're like, I named him or her, and I now have to give him up because I can't afford him, or, and then you're like, no, I can find a way. So it okay. forces a kind of connection that was not there, but it grows organically, and it's hard to get rid of, which is why when Ren actually left, it hurt so bad, and it put him in such a foul mood that it took him off his game.
Yeah, but it's that's not what happened. He didn't take him home just to see how it worked and then cut him loose.
Like, no, I know, but like it wasn't to cut him loose, but I'm saying that's usually a...
Yeah, but it wasn't even like that. I'll try and make you my disciple and see how it goes. He asked, do you want to be my disciple? Not even asking him, do you want to come try, or and then that's it, or anything like that. Like that whole method doesn't even fit what happened. Like Kuma saw the kid and he's like, do you want to be my disciple? And the kid decides, he's like, you know what? I got nothing to lose. I got nothing going for me. I'm out on the street. I'll follow him. Just see what happens.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, after the fact, when he shows up and was given a name and whatnot.
Well, he was given a name at that point, because Ren didn't even want to give him his name. Give him a name. He said, right. I'm not telling you that.
Mm-hmm. Like, and that's why he was given a new name.
Yeah. Which is.
So I think that if he was told his name was Ren, it wouldn't have been such a connection. It wouldn't have been seen as a pseudo father figure.
Yeah, but I don't think that connection's more so between. From Kuma to Ren, it's from Ren to Kuma. And Ren developed that connection to Kuma because after their training, after years, he tells him how old he is. He's like, well, I want to name you this now. And Ren's response is, no, this is what you're going to call me.
Hmm. I didn't really see it that way, but that makes sense. You know?
Yeah.
And I really like the fact that it, no matter how strong your body gets, and by the time he makes it back to the human world after, what, 3-5 years, something like that?
After 9 years.
9 years? 9 years? I thought he was 9 years old and 13 when he came back.
17 when he came back. That's why he was going to college. That's why he was applying for college. Yeah, he was 9 when he first showed up. It was 9 years, and they said this several times. He was it was 9 years that he was there.
I thought he was 9 years old. That makes so much more sense. I thought he was 9 years old. And he grew like three feet and became a mature and adult. And, you know, I thought he was entering high school, not college. So that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. But it, again, you know, it just shows like he finally mastered the techniques. He was a proficient fighter. He was almost a master of his craft, but he wanted to learn more and he wanted to grow more, not physically, but mentally. And so when he finally makes, and when he finally makes it back to the human world, the first thing he does is he goes to a library and he starts to try and read, and he immediately turns to the person next to him when he's having difficulty saying a word and asks for help immediately. No shame, no nothing. Just, I don't know what this means. I need you to tell me, please enlighten me, which shows the level of maturity and the mental fortitude that he has just for being able to do that. Because I don't know about you. 18. If I didn't know how to say a word, I sure as hell will still not know how to say that word.
I didn't know how to say a word. I would not be using that word. I would find 8 different ways to say exactly what I'm looking for, except for the word, because I couldn't tell you what the word is.
Exactly.
And if you called me out on it, I'd have been like, no, I know what I'm saying. I'm using descriptors. Exactly. You paid by the word here.
Exactly. I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, it was, I enjoyed it. It was good fight scenes. It was good music. It was good story. Damn thing made me cry. What the hell, right? Not like, you know, blithering your name tears, but it was emotional. It touched you in a good way.
It did. This was definitely a great journey of growth. And what's funny is at the beginning of the movie, or pretty close to the beginning of the movie, is they joked around and said that Kuma, if he were to become the Grand Master and he chose to reincarnate, he would be the god of tools or a tool god, you know, because of how he lived. It's like that sword, despite it was never unsheathed, meant everything. The fighting meant everything to him. And, you know, that honestly, it does come full circle, like their growth and everything like that, that you see him becoming more and more of a leader, a true leader. And then also realizing at the same time that Ren is not really ever truly complete without Kuma, and Kuma is not really ever complete without Ren.
Yeah, two sides of the same coin, where alone they falter and fail, but together they argue until one of them just goes, screw it, I'm gonna do it.
Yep. Yeah.
So I thought it was really nice.
It was great. The music I thought was really, really well done. I thought it was great.
It was incredibly well done. But I mean, I hate to say it, it's par for the course as far as like movies go, movies specifically with this genre. It's almost like you have to have good music, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't awe-inspiring music, but it fit the scenarios, and it definitely did not phone the it's not production, it's not placement, performance. They didn't phone the performance in. They did their due diligence. They got the right people to do it. They got the right music for it, which is huge. Mm-hmm. Usually, like in Your Lie in April, they end up putting, I'm going to say, random music pieces in it. It fits really well because you're in a music competition, right? But here it felt like the music was very purposeful, and like they spent the extra time.
Yeah.
You know, well, like it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't short. It was not shortchanged.
Okay. So I would disagree with the music on Your Lie in April, but you know, that's a revisit, a revisit for a future discussion.
If you haven't seen our review of Your Lie, I recommend it.
It is a 10 out of 10 for both of us.
Yeah. First 5 seconds are just the best part of the whole.
No, I'm saying the anime is 10 out of 10.
Was, I'm talking about our show.
Well, that's a 10 out of 10 too, but that's for another reason entirely.
No, that anime,
anyways,
we rated 10 out of 10. It was good.
It was great.
It was amazing. But
the one thing that I'd have to say, though, that I thought was unique, the animation for this, mm-hmm. It's not like it's meant to be clean or crisp or anything like that. I felt like the animation was meant to be kind of like, fluid. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Fluid
and
raw.
It was motion. Yeah. It was motion oriented. Mm-hmm. There was no jitteries or jumps and stuff like that. And there was a few times when you hit pause, the faces they make are quite funny. but it wasn't, I agree with you. It was not clean to the point of being obnoxious, and the rawness of it gave it a kind of emotional feel.
Exactly. And I think that just really helped add to the whole atmosphere for it. Cause while you're watching it, you have that raw feeling for it, that just overall, you know, atmosphere just really played well with the music and the storyline, which was really well done.
100%. It is. I don't know if you can get a moral out of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't think you can get a story out of it, like what you're supposed to learn from it. Mm-hmm. It's a good experience. It's a good journey. But I don't really see. I don't see the teaching value of it. I see the entertainment value all day long.
Well, it's a,
and
it's a story about growth and learning, as well as understanding and knowing that your strength isn't only through physical strength, but through mental strength, which was part of the reason why that he just didn't choose one over the other. It's they both had their faults. One was more plain than the other one. Whereas if one constantly tried to grow and evolve and improve themselves to grow, the other one just felt like he was already perfect and didn't understand why he wasn't just chosen right off the bat.
Which is probably the issue. And what I thought was kind of cool is you have more than one version of a master.
Yes.
And the Nameless Master, the really awesome rabbit, when that dude showed up, I was like, he's gangster. Like, there's no way anybody around can mess with this guy. He is just, one, too fast, and two, the way they wrote him, and the way that he just shows up, and the look just exudes subtle dominance. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, look, you want to be a master? I got five friends here. Go talk to them. You're going to have to travel all over the world. Take the boy with you so you can learn what true strength is. And everyone had a different version of what true strength was.
Yep.
One was being still and quiet and understanding of the environment around them like a stone, to the point of turning into a stone while meditating. I assume while meditating, because I think we saw her later on.
Yeah.
And she was younger.
Yeah. But you also had others that had the viewpoint of strength being able to just eat whatever it is you wanted to, or, you know, everyone had their own viewpoint, their own ideology behind it, which is, you know, arguably another learning point. Like, what true strength is for you does not necessarily mean it's true strength for someone else, and that you have to find out what your true strength is.
Correct. For example, telekinesis. Amazing ability. The guy in charge of it, the master in charge of the telekinesis, was like, look, what is true strength? Can you lift that boulder? I can, but my muscles are weak. So does that mean that ability is true strength? The other one's like, you just have to listen and be patient and react to the world around you. Be patient like a stone. That is the real power. And like, it was, one is be fluid like the water. One was be...
They had a variety of different ones.
Yeah, it was a lot of really awesome stuff that you'd probably find on a fortune cookie. You know?
Yeah.
They were good sayings, and they meant a lot, but they didn't really fit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they didn't fit with the characters that we were following. And they were all just discarded. Like, that's not what true strength is. That's not what that is. They don't know what they're talking about.
Right, but it, you know, in the end, again, it's like, what is true strength for you? And for Ren, I think for him, his true strength was actually growing, not just physically, but mentally, as well as rekindling the relationship that he had with his father, birth father.
Yeah. See, what I thought his true strength was not in physical or emotional, but in mental strength, because he was able to drive out the negative thoughts, his determination, his tenacity, his willpower. To me, those were his strengths, because they far exceeded his body.
And the ability to rely on others when he needed to.
I don't think he was ever put in a choice where he had to rely on somebody. You know what I mean?
He relied on Kade, the girl that he meets in the human world, to help remind him of who he was. And then she gave him that bracelet. That the little animal that he's had with him for those 9 years, when he falls on it and he sees it, reminds him of who he is and the strength that he actually has.
True. I thought it was cool. I thought it was interesting. I liked it a lot.
It was good. It was solid. Well, I know that
I could see the bad guy a mile away, though.
Well, yeah. The first few seconds I saw him, I was like, that's going to be the guy. That's going to be it. That's going to be the downfall right there. But
ride.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I know we could kind of go on, but I don't think we really need to go on. I feel like,
I mean, we could go on, but we would ruin what we're hoping is a surprise and a motivation touching for you to watch it.
Yeah. A touching story with a,
it's good. You'd lose out.
Yeah. All right. So on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
Nine.
Solid nine.
Yeah, the storytelling was amazing. Music, really good. Yeah, no, I thought about this for a while. I was teetering between 7 and 9, and honestly, the animation and the way that it felt intentionally drawn in an emotional manner knocked it out the park for me.
I wish I could disagree.
I watched it a second time with two different people, and they both gave me very similar responses. Like, this is a really good movie.
It is. It is a really great movie. So I'm actually going to marry you on this. I'm actually going with a 9 as well, because I liked it and it was enjoyable. The only thing that's really kind of keeping it from a 10 for me is how easy it was to see where the ending would end up and like who the main protagonist would end up being in the end. It's the only thing that's really keeping it from that 10. It's like, it was a great story. I loved it. Yeah, there were no twists. It went on a predictable route. Granted, I was not disappointed in that.
Yeah, I agree. I liked that. And I liked not having to think too hard, but at the same time, I really enjoyed the way they went about it, because it did not happen the way I thought it was going to. No.
Well,
yeah, no, it was just, if you see yourself on everything, you can relate.
It's relatable. It's a relatable show. It's a relatable movie. All right. Now on to next week's choice, which is an emailed recommendation. I dug this out from our archives of emails from people that have sent it. And this was on a long list of anime that we were told we needed to watch. We watched a couple off of there already as it was. Angel, who emailed us a long time ago, said, this was actually on their list, Rent a Girlfriend. And so we're going to go ahead. We're going to watch that. It's, why not? Because it's something that deserves to be watched. And, so why not now?
Mm-hmm. Rent a Girlfriend.
Rent a Girlfriend.
Sounds like a slice of life.
It is. I'm pretty sure. I am pretty sure. In fact, I would go as far as to say, let me double check right now before I say anything else. No, it is not. It is a comedy romance school shonen.
Shonen?
Yes.
Rent a Girlfriend's a shonen.
Yes.
A Dragon Ball Z shonen.
No.
Okay. You got my hopes up. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, high school and Dragon Ball Z-esque material? I'll watch that all day long.
Let me bring it down to you. It is shonen anime, while typically... Mm-hmm. are fighting, not all of them are fighting. It's their manga or anime that are marketed towards teen men.
Oh, there's gonna be jiggle physics.
So anyways, that is next week's choice. I hope you enjoyed this week's choice. I hope you enjoyed what we had to say about it. If you've seen it and you feel like we got something right, something wrong, just plain old got everything wrong, or you have a differing opinion, feel free to reach out to us, featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter, Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook, or if you want to help us grow and produce some more exclusive content for you, Featured Anime Podcast, that's patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. If you want to buy yourself some swanky merch, and support us in that fashion, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And if you want to talk to us and hang out with us in our Discord, we'll have a link for that in the show notes. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And let's all be the disciple that we all know we can be. We'll see you next time.